Bismillah, alhamdulillah, peace be with you. Welcome to another episode of The Dean Show. And my next guest coming out at the young age of 20, accepted this deen, this beautiful way of life that's practiced by over 1.5 billion people all across the globe. And he started to ponder and think and started asking those serious questions. Purpose of life. Have you ever wondered? Have you asked those questions? Where did I come from? Where am I going when I die? We're replete with everything else. Money, cars, jewelry, bling bling. But at the age of 20, this young man started to think about purpose. And now he accepted the deen and he's on the Dean Show. All the way from Serbia. He was born in Serbia, raised in Hungary, actually in Toronto. And you know what? We're just going to wait, bring him out, and he's going to tell us the rest. Because we got an exciting show with our next guest, Esau Greg, here on the Dean Show.
This is the Dean. The Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
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 Back here on the Dean Show with Esau. How are you, my brother?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, praise to the creator of heavens and the earth. Before I was starting off and I was going to, like, you know, go into your whole biography, but I said, let me just not mess it up, okay?
Yeah.
Let's bring you on, and you can kind of go ahead and talk to us a little bit about yourself. I mentioned in an opening that you were born in Serbia. Is that right? That's in Europe, former Yugoslavia.
Yep.
Hungarian background.
Yep.
Have lived almost your whole life in Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, tell us. Talk to us about this.
Okay, so I was born in Serbia, and I was a year old when my parents moved here to Canada. And so I've lived pretty much my entire life in Toronto, Canada. I visited back home quite a few times, and on my recent trip back home, I got a chance to travel a little bit more throughout the region, you know, to such places as Bosnia, which was really nice. And
you've also been to Bosnia, huh?
Yeah, been to Bosnia, and that was my last trip in Europe that I went on with my family, and it was just after I had accepted Islam.
Now, so your parents, they come from a Catholic background, Christian background?
Yep, so I was baptized, confirmed, and also had my first communion as well, as a Catholic.
Yeah, now, you know, the whole purpose of the show is really promoting purpose of life, for people to really think and ponder.
Absolutely.
To ask those serious questions.
Yeah.
You know, where did I come from?
Mm-hmm.
You just popped up in this world, right? Mm-hmm. It was a moment in time, we didn't exist. Then we were in the womb, and now we're in this world, and pretty soon we'll be in the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
So really to get people to reflect about the importance of, you know, knowing your purpose in life, living your purpose in life. And you started to ask these important questions. You started to ponder and think at a young age, at around 19, 20?
Yeah, 20 years
old.
What
stimulated that?
20 years old. Well, I must say it was through meeting a very nice brother. And it was through him that I actually got introduced to Islam. And from that point on, I definitely started to research and study, read the translation of the Quran, and also go to different masjids in Toronto. I had the honor of going to the first Journey of Faith conference, where I was delighted to run into you. And I had been watching some of your shows. This was right at the beginning of when I actually was looking into Islam, and I had actually accepted Islam without fully researching it, because I just simply knew through the person who told me about Islam that Islam was the truth. I was totally I would say convinced.
Mm-hmm. So wait, explain that again. Someone says, okay, so you accepted it because someone had provided you with the evidences, the proofs. You were convinced from everything they told you. What did they tell you?
Well, see, it was more, I would say, more through his actions that I was convinced. I saw that he had very strong faith. I thought, you know, I just saw in him a lot of sincerity, a lot of genuine care for other people. And he's somebody that, you know, has helped a lot of people. And I was definitely fortunate enough to have met him when at a point in my life I was ready to change.
Now someone says, look, Mother Teresa helped a lot of people. She fed a lot of poor, you know what I mean? So it could have been just the other way around. You could have met some other person who was a Hindu who was helping a lot of good people, good character. You know, what if somebody mm-hmm. came at you and said, you know, look, you want me to really think about purpose of life, and you know, what's so special about this deen this way, mm-hmm. you know, besides that? What else was mm-hmm. it that...
I mean, I definitely had my... I had doubts at the beginning, I would definitely say. I had my doubts, you know, those questions coming to my head. Is Islam the truth? Is this really the way? You know, so I could definitely say the best, they say the best cure for ignorance is knowledge. So I would definitely say that's exactly what I did. I was doing my research. I was talking to people. I was talking to imams in Toronto. I was meeting brothers, you know, converts to Islam, hearing their stories. That's actually what really helped me a lot at the beginning, was listening to other people's stories, how and why they came to Islam. And that really just, you know, solidified it for me. You know, all the research I did, all the people I talked to. And, you know, after I did that research, that's when I was fully convinced. And about 5 or 6 months after is when I fully started practicing. It was my first Ramadan. I started praying. I had a chance to go to a Middle Eastern country, Dubai, for 3 weeks with some very nice brothers. And that experience, I definitely would say, changed my life completely.
Now, there's somebody out there, I'm sure they just can't get past the beard. So someone's thinking like, look, this guy, like, you know, he's, why is he growing a beard now? What's with the beard? Tell us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, quite honestly,
Had a problem with your family or somebody... you know, that just it gives you a hard time because
of
the beard?
Well, my mom gives me a little bit of a hard time. My grandmother's as well. They said, why are you growing that beard? Why don't you shave it off? And quite honestly, you know, I'm not growing it for my mom, my grandmothers, other people. You know, I'm doing it simply to follow that which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, told his followers to do. So that's, you know, simply the reason why I'm doing it.
Now, your name, okay, your name was Greg, okay?
Yeah.
Now, technically, you don't have to change your name,
no.
Right?
No.
Okay?
Yeah.
Why did you choose to change your name to Isa?
Well, it's quite an interesting story. I met that Albanian brother who had introduced me to Islam, because formerly, I didn't really have much exposure to Islam and Muslims. You know, I grew up in an area where it was mostly Catholics and also fairly big Jewish community. So those are the, you know, people that I grew up with in Toronto. And so after I had met him, he was saving my name. Well, he forgot my name, and he happened to save my name in his phone as Isa. And the next time that I met with him, he told me so that he had saved my name as Isa. And I just said, you know what? That's a very nice name. It's the name of Jesus, peace be upon him. So I just, from that point on, decided that I like that name, and it's, you know, stuck with me since.
So that's actually the name of that mighty messenger that no Muslim is a Muslim unless he believes in Jesus, peace be upon him. That's what your name is named after?
Absolutely.
Jesus?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Jesus had a beard?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Moses had a beard?
Yeah.
Abraham had a beard?
Yeah.
All these mighty messengers had a beard, and not only the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, but all of them. So it's amazing that, you know, Muslims who are praying like Jesus, who are greeting each other with peace like Jesus, mm-hmm. who are refraining from, you know, keeping the commandments like Jesus did.
Yeah.
We're continuing that tradition, that deen, that way of life.
Exactly.
So at what point now, you're a young man, and you're thinking, you're contemplating, did you start asking yourself, okay, you know, those important questions, what's the purpose of life? You know, why am I here? Where am I going when I die? Did you start contemplating that?
Yeah.
What time was that in your life?
Absolutely. I would say when I was 20, one of the main first questions that this brother, whose name is Abdul Rahman, actually told me, he asked me, he says, what do you think were to happen to you if you were to just simply die? You know, die like that, just living a life of just always having fun, going out, you know, having a girlfriend, and just being heedless of, you know, what our purpose here in life is. And what's actually going to happen to us once we die. And I remember just putting my head down and saying and thinking to myself that I didn't want to die like that. I didn't want to die where I wasn't living a life that, you know, I was happy with. And, you know, I definitely wanted to change. And, you know, that's the one question that really really made me think. And definitely my journey began from there to research and find out what happens to us once we die. And, you know, that we ought to die in a state where we're in a state of peace, where we're happy with ourselves, we're happy with the type of life that we're living.
We're gonna take a break, and we're gonna come back with more, continue on with your story and your experiences here on The Dean Show. We'll be right back.
I started asking deeper questions.
The question I want people to really ask themselves is, when you come back from a night on the town, you've been drinking, you've been boozing, you've been dancing, you've been hanging out with girls, guys, whatever. Number one, did you improve yourself as a human being? Number two, did you contribute anything to the betterment of humanity? The amazing thing is that the most advanced studies in psychology about human happiness show that these are the two key factors in making people profoundly happy.
I take 5 minutes out of my day and pray to the Creator and none of the creations, and I feel a deep internal peace. And I still have my normal life.
Back here on The Dean Show with Greg Issa, and you were asked by a Muslim.
Yeah.
Okay. You were asked, like, and at that point in your life, you're not living a good, organic, wholesome life, obviously, right?
Right. Right.
So now he's asking you, you know, what happened? What would happen if you died right now?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and then you, what mm-hmm. happened from there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would definitely say, you know, after that point, the brothers were very, very kind and very nice. They gave me an English translation of the Quran, the Noble Quran. They brought me for Jummah, they brought me to the masjid. And from that point on, I just really started to look into what Islam was, because at that point, I didn't really know much about Islam. And that's when I started to really research, read the English translation of the Quran, again, meet with other people who are more knowledgeable, ask them questions, and at the same time, you know, look into other faiths as well, because Islam doesn't, you know, encourage us to stay ignorant. It encourages us to learn, to understand, to, you know, feel free to look into other faiths. It's not like Islam is the only faith that exists and we shouldn't look into any other faiths. So I definitely took the time then, which I didn't before, to look into Christianity, see what Christianity was all about, what it taught, you know, things about the Bible, what the Bible is teaching. And I definitely, you know, looked into other religions at the same time, which I hadn't done previously. Mm-hmm. So it actually encouraged me to learn, understand about Judaism more, about Christianity more, and about other faiths as well. And at the same time, I was learning about what Islam teaches about, for example, Jesus. And I had no idea before I became Muslim that Muslims believed in Jesus as a prophet and a messenger, and they believed in the miracles of Jesus, that he was born miraculously without a father, and that he performed miracles. These were all things that were definitely new to me. And looking back on that, and knowing now, because I still have obviously a lot of family members and old friends that still don't still don't know things about Islam, such as the fact that we believe in Isa as a prophet and a messenger of God.
It's really amazing that, you know, so many people are still in a situation where they don't have peace in life,
right?
Because they're not living purpose. So you see right. many of, you know, human beings who are emulating someone. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to emulate. That's why I asked you about the beard.
Yeah.
You know, we want to emulate the best of people.
Absolutely.
Imitate the prophets of God.
Absolutely.
Because they were the ones who were teaching us how to get close to God.
Yeah.
So do you feel like now, you know, with full conviction that if anyone investigates this deen,
yeah.
using the faculties that the Creator has given us,
yeah.
your brain, your reasoning,
yeah.
you know, and all everything that God has given you, that you'll come, that a person will come to know that this is definitely away from the Creator, no
yeah.
doubt about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I look at it in the way also is that people go to university and spend 4 years of their lives. They pay for their education. They wake up in the morning. They study for their exams, and all simply for a diploma so that they could get a better job. I would just encourage everybody to spend even a little, not that much time, maybe not 4 years of their time, but at least put forward somewhat of an effort. Somewhat of an effort into researching about the Quran, about what the Quran says, about the prophets. Look into what Christianity says as well, you know, and compare the two. And I believe anybody that's sincere, has a sincere intention, and is truly looking for the truth, that they will find it.
Yeah, the more, you know, I look into it, the more I investigate it, the more I'm convinced about it. Absolutely. Because it really stimulates the mind. It's not something where we're blindly following it. It's based on, it's truth based on proof, on evidence.
Right.
So, you know, and you see, like, you know, if you follow some of the news, some of the, you know, things that are going on, I was just reading, like, recently, I don't know, you heard of Randy Travis? No. He's like a big-time country singer.
Okay.
You know, I wanted just to bring this up because a lot of people, they emulate the superstars, the celebrities. Right. Yeah. But if you see their lives, they're upside down.
Yeah.
He was just caught, you know, driving drunk, combative with the police. They found him naked, you know.
Wow.
So this is a country superstar.
Right.
And you have people like Miley Cyrus. A big hit in Canada over there?
Drake. Yeah,
you
he's
see?
From Toronto.
Oh, he was just in a fight with the Chris guy. What's his name?
Chris Brown
in a nightclub, and he's busted up. Did you read about that?
No, I'm not really following this.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you read the Yahoo News, and you see all this, you know, all this drama that's out there.
Yeah.
And obviously you can see that these celebrities, who are most of them in celebrity rehab with Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
You heard of Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
And their lives are upside down.
Yeah.
They have substance abuse. You know, many of them are suicidal. They're on crack, on meth, on all sorts of coke and all sorts of dope, right? Mm-hmm. And their lives are upside down because they don't have purpose. They have money, but they don't have purpose.
Right.
Do you run into some of your old friends and family, people who still aren't, you know, living purpose, living, you know, how the Creator wants them to live, and how your experience has been now with the have you had some hostility also from people from back home, from Hungary, or family members now that you've accepted this way of life?
Mm-hmm. I would say at the beginning I did have some hostility when it came to my sister and my dad. Not so much my mom. My mom's definitely been very supportive of me throughout the last four and a half years. But I do see with my old friends, they're a few years older than me, and I know for a fact that they're getting sick and tired of that lifestyle of always going out, always, you know, chasing girls and doing, you know, they know that lifestyle has nothing good to offer at the end. It's something that people imagine in their minds that is fun, it's exciting. And it's only when they follow through with it that they realize that there's no substance when you live that type of lifestyle. And you know, we were mentioning Drake before, and interestingly enough, I found out recently through a friend that he actually has a copy of the Quran in his apartment in Toronto.
He does.
Yeah.
This is through a friend.
Yeah.
May God Almighty, the Creator, guide him.
May Allah guide him. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So tell us now, have you as a new Muslim, you know, now how you said your mom's supportive.
Yeah.
How about your father and your sister? They're giving you a hard time. Have you been able to share and tell us I know we all make mistakes, and sometimes you know, we look back and say, man, I wish I could have did some things different.
Right.
So for some of the new Muslims, people who've accepted this way of life, now they can learn from your experiences some of the do's and don'ts, some things that you would encourage them to do, not to do.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I would say at the beginning, because my sister and my father were a little bit hostile, you know, I was a little bit impatient. I was a little bit impatient and got upset at certain things that they did, certain things that they said. And looking back on it truly now, I mean, you know, I just wish that I could have done a little bit more when it came to still keeping those communication, still keeping with those communications when it comes to Islam with my father, with my sister. I mean, unfortunately now, because there was a bit of hostility, I just kind of had the attitude is, you know what, I'd rather not even talk about it with them. But that's definitely not the right approach. I mean, you know, we should always, as everyone knows, we should always keep good relationships with our families, with our fathers, with our sisters, with our mothers. and talk to them about Islam. Try to find creative ways of bringing it up, or finding other people that could talk to them about Islam. And we should always stay steadfast in trying to give da'wah to our family members, and you know, and just simply do our best and do our part, because that's all we could do, is in the nicest way convey the message to them and pray for them that Allah puts iman, puts faith into their heart.
We're gonna take a break and we'll be right back with more with our brother Esau here on the Deen Show.
You think these things are gonna bring you happiness? You know why you keep going back to the club and you keep going back to these desires? Because you never find satisfaction. It's going to end up causing you, if it hasn't already, a lot of pain. You think you're happy? You're kidding yourself. You really are. What we are offering in Islam, what we have found in Islam for ourselves, is a means by which our hearts are at peace. They're at rest. They're not discontent. We are pleased with what we have.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on the Deen Show, and we're talking with our brother Isa, talking to us about your experiences, how you came to this beautiful way of life. What was it at the end? Okay, you said that you met this brother,
yeah,
and his character, and
yeah,
really, you know, had a profound impact on you. And absolutely, you just, you know, he invited you to Islam and you accepted,
yeah,
Islam.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for the most part, a lot of people, they study Islam fully, but I think, you know, why take a year or 2 years,
why
or
wait?
3 years? Why wait? You know, once you shouldn't really think about what's going to be the consequences of me accepting Islam. See, I never thought of those things. I just simply, you know, had a lot of trust in this brother, because I just saw from his sincerity, you know, his character, and like how strong his faith was, and the things that he was telling me. Like, he was truly trying to help me get out of the struggles that I was going through in my life, and I just knew that what he believed in was truly the way. Mm-hmm. I just truly knew at that point, and I didn't think of the consequences of, oh, what are my friends gonna think? You know, what's gonna happen? What are other people gonna think? Because I truly believe a lot of people are actually a slave to those types of those things. They're always worried about, okay, you know, how they look, what are friends think? What are people at work gonna say? What are other people gonna think of me? And when you're always trying to impress. When you're always trying to impress your other people, you're actually not being yourself. You know, you're just always simply a slave to that. You know, are other people around you gonna accept you?
Definitely. You see a lot of people procrastinating,
mm-hmm,
and I've had this experience talking to a lot of people, and mm-hmm, then they know, mm-hmm, it's like, you know, they know that this is the truth, mm-hmm, but because of the surrounding factors,
right,
friends,
exactly,
you know, yeah, what other people are gonna say,
yeah,
it's like they step, mm-hmm, put it away, put it to the side, and they just keep on with life.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, this is good advice. Don't procrastinate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
If it's the truth, be upon the truth.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
So yeah, tell us more. Now, you've gotten also to, besides your family, what were also some challenging, because life is a test, obviously. Mm-hmm. We're going to be tested. Mm-hmm. So what were some of the other challenges being a new Muslim, mm-hmm, and these challenges that you had and you overcame, and how did you overcome them?
Right. I would probably say the biggest challenge was I decided I completely wanted to change. So I left off that lifestyle of drinking and going out and just, you know, being around friends that I knew were going to negatively influence me. So I totally left off those friends. And, you know, at the beginning, it was hard because there was a lot of times it became fairly lonely. I didn't know anybody. I hadn't grown up around Muslims. I didn't know any, you know, I didn't have any friends, I would say that. And that was probably the biggest difficulty at the beginning. But alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah, that Allah replaced those old friends with much, much greater friends that I'm definitely blessed to have today. And what I could simply say is, for the new Muslims at the beginning, it's gonna be a little bit tough. It's gonna be a little bit tough, and you know, it definitely gives you a time to build that relationship with Allah when you're in those times of loneliness. And you know what I could say to Muslims, if you see a new Muslim or somebody that you've never seen before at the masjid, go up to him, you know, ask him how he's doing, what his name is, you know, how long he's been Muslim, you know, invite him out with you know, some brothers, and just show that genuine hospitality that true Muslims have. And that was probably my biggest challenge, and that's what I try to do today. If I know someone just became Muslim, I'll get his contact information. I'll say, hey, I'll come pick you up. I'll bring you for Jummah, for Friday prayers. You know, I'll introduce him to some other, like, brothers in the masjid, and you know, simply take him out, and you know, just try to show him a bit of any bit of hospitality that I can.
Now, before we cut out, and the show is almost over. You know, obviously we can understand, you know, a lot of times, you know, people look at this deen, this way of life, as the other. Mm-hmm. So now you become a Muslim, and let's say your parents, they think that maybe, look, he's become a terrorist or something. Mm-hmm. Obviously Islam has nothing to do with that.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, but now when they get to know mm-hmm. what we believe, mm-hmm. and they see that Islam is actually beautiful. It's calling mm-hmm. a person to have peace with their creator, with themselves, and the rest of their humanity. You become a better right. son. Yeah. You become a better and more honest human being, and you're more... moral in your life, and you have more compassion and love and good character. Now, you know, for those people, you know, your father and whoever else is out there from your family, mm-hmm. you know, that maybe might get to watch this show, mm-hmm. you know, and they were a little bit reluctant to have mm-hmm. you explain because they were so on the defensive, mm-hmm. you know, and other people out in the world who might be from Hungary watching it, or from mm-hmm. Serbia or whoever, and they just have no idea about Islam. What is it now? So what is it about Islam that really, you know, changed your life? And what are some of the beliefs? What do you believe now? Do you believe in some, you know, Martian from outer space? Or, mm-hmm. you know, what do you believe now? What is it about Islam, and what do you believe?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say Islam has really given purpose to my life. And Islam is not a way of life that's boring by any means. You know, Islam is such a beautiful way of life that there's always something new and interesting to do. You know, we have our five daily prayers. We have our Friday prayers on Friday where we go to the masjid, we hear a nice lecture, we spend some time with brothers afterwards. We just had Ramadan that just unfortunately passed us. And this past Ramadan was one of the greatest Ramadans, for sure the greatest Ramadan that I ever had. And it was so nice on Eid to give all the brothers, you know, big nice hugs like after Eid. And inshallah, I'll be also going for Hajj as well. And I mean, you know, there's definitely nothing, you know, that you should be bored with. There's always something to do. You know, there's always something new to learn, new to do. And at the same time, we should also be calling people to Islam. You know, that's very important. And but obviously before that, we have to know what Islam is. We have to seek that knowledge. We have to go to the right sources. We have to learn from our scholars, from our imams at our masjids, and truly understand what Islam is, implement it into our lives, and then also call other people to it. And Islam is very simple. It is the only pure monotheistic faith on the earth. There's no other faith that is pure monotheistics. We simply believe that there's only one God worthy of worship, and that we should follow His commands, and we should follow the examples of all the prophets and messengers that God has sent us. We live according to the books that He has revealed to His messengers, and the last and final book that He has revealed to all of mankind till the day of judgment is, of course, the Quran. And we should try to really read it and internalize it, and just simply live according to the Quran to the best of our ability. And a part of following the Quran is, of course, following the Sunnah, which is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we should study about, we should look into his biography. You know, how he treated his enemies, how he treated his friends, his wives, his children. And we should truly, you know, we should truly always look at the best of creation and the best of examples, which were the prophets and messengers of God Almighty. And we should do our best at all times to just live according to their way, the way of life that they lived, and try to really establish that relationship with our Creator, and you know, and really put an emphasis on establishing the prayer. That is very important. We need to, at the beginning, discipline ourselves. And it's funny, I heard something recently that, you know, somebody I was listening to said, you know, they would always tell their mother, you know, oh, I have to pray. And the mom would say, why do you have to pray? And then from I have to pray, it became to I need to pray. I want to pray. And at the beginning, it does have its challenges establishing the prayer, but it definitely is very important. And after our belief in one God and after our belief in the last and final messenger of God, we definitely need to put a lot of emphasis on the prayer.
Prayer. Yes, definitely. And we can't go wrong worshiping only God, praying to one God, doing good, being good. Thank you very much for being with us on The Dean Show. It's always a pleasure to talk to people like yourself and get to share your experiences with the viewers of The Dean Show. May God Almighty, the Creator, reward you for being with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you again for sitting through another episode of The Dean Show, another human being story, another person's story on how they came to this beautiful Dean and how they're living purpose, living according to God's will, not their desires. And that's what life is all about. You got one shot to get it right, and at the end we die. And then it's either paradise or the hellfire. So we're going to follow those individuals who are not bringing us closer to the Creator. Bad company, bad friends that are just bringing out the worst in you. You're smoking dope, drinking not Kool-Aid, but Jack and Coke, and you're snoping dope, and you're lying, deceiving, cheating, and you're not living a good, wholesome life. You're not happy. You're gambling your whole life away. Not only are you gambling, but you're gambling the whole life away, and you're not living your purpose, and you're not happy. You're not content. You'll never be content until you live according to God's game plan. And you got one shot to get it right, one life. And if you're watching this episode and you like what our guests had to say, really contemplate and think. Ask the Creator. Ask Him alone to guide you. Only God. And if you can understand that and you like that, only praying to God, not having to go in a confession box, 10 Hail Marys, praying to a man, to a woman, to a stick, to a stone, to a bone. No, you only pray to God. He's the only one that can forgive you. No one in creation but to the one who created creation, the one Creator. You pray to Him and ask Him right now. You could have done the worst of things, but right now it's your chance. Ask the Creator to guide you. Ask the Creator. Because if you ask, then you shall receive. But if you keep going and living your life, a heedless life, life of debauchery, just following your lusts and desires, what's going to happen to them when you die? Just like our guest, when he was asked that question, what if you died right now, death came upon you, it's over, it's done. Don't let it come to that. Ask the Creator right now to guide you. Repent for your sins and start living a good, wholesome, organic life. And you can call us at any time, 1-800-662-ISLAM. Don't forget to pick up the new Dunya Tadeen and visit us here every week on The Dean Show. We'll see you next time, God willing. Until then, peace be unto you. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace to everybody. How are you? You come to get some food for the soul. You've been replete with everything else, but it's not satisfying the soul. Money can't buy that happiness. It won't bring you peace, not even a six-pack of peace. You can't buy it.
This is the Dean Show.
Show.